fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. Analysis of your Toronto Blue Jays and Major League Baseball. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Oh, it's been a while since we've done this. Since I've done it. It's a long weekend, does to you. You were here Friday. Nice. Welcome back to Baseball Central, everybody, for Monday, April 21st, brought to you by our friends at Home Hardware. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker for your listening and I don't know about viewing. Pleasure. How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How was your weekend?
Awesome.
Good.
See my sister in Ottawa. It was great. Sat out in the patio, drank beer.
Hey, can't beat that.
Yeah. This is our summer, by the way. You know the winter starts in another 4 hours, hey?
Really?
Yeah, they didn't tell you that?
I haven't gotten the memo for that yet.
Anyhow, no, the weather's going to be great today. Maybe a little rain. No baseball today. Well, lots of baseball. No baseball if you're a Blue Jays fan. The Jays have the day off after that 5-4 road trip. They'll start a 3-game series against the Baltimore Orioles tomorrow night at the Rogers Center. And Kevin, 5-4 road trip. As Buck Martinez said, should have been 7-2. No other way to put it, though. Should have been 7-2. A couple of bullpen meltdowns. And yesterday's, to me, yesterday's a little more inexplicable. I mean, you know, that doubleheader, I mean, that was just a mess. You knew that was going to be a mess. But, boy, Aaron Loop yesterday couldn't get anybody out. And you brought up a good point. And I actually hadn't thought of it, but you wonder, I'm not going to second guess the way John Gibbons uses bullpen.
He's been doing really good at that.
Yeah, he has, But you wonder if Aaron Loop really isn't, if he ought not to be looked at as a situational lefty and Brett Cecil's your kind of your left-handed horse, if you want to call it.
Well, yeah, but it gets back to the fact of when you have starting pitching only going 4 innings and 5 innings, what do you go 5 innings and then the bullpen has to take over and pitch 4 solid innings? Well, who's going to do that for you?
Yeah.
We get back to that thing where you have to know your role. Well, do they really know their role in the bullpen? They don't. It's more of everybody's on tippy toes waiting for the call from the fourth inning on, which to win games in the American League, that's just not going to do it. Well, you have to, sooner than later, giving people the benefit of the doubt, it's just you can't do that anymore. You have to, you know, it's really gut check time for the Jays when it comes to pitching. Because their defense is unbelievable, and they're getting some timely hits, which is what you want. And the old saying is, pitching and defense wins championships. Well, half of it's taken care of.
The numbers are bear that out. The defense is great. The Jays pitchers have issued, and we'll be joined by pitching coach Pete Walker, by the way, at 11:15. The Jays issued 4.33 walks per 9 innings, which is second most in the majors. The Shy Sox, 4.76. But this is the number that really stands out to me, Kevin. The starters are fourth most in Major League Baseball, 3.65. But the relievers, 5.43 walks per 9 innings. That's third most in the majors. But as you point out, there's another number, innings pitched, that we got to throw into that discussion as
Well, the starters aren't even going 6 innings. So those numbers are equaled out up to about 5 innings, which is...
5 and a tick, under 5 2/3.
That's crazy number. Like, that's... You're talking close to breaking records numbers early on.
And the bullpen has the second most innings.
Well, that's...
of any bullpen in baseball.
Let's face it, you're not going to win with that. You're going to be middle of the pack and hoping that you can... scrounge some games. I mean, the Twins thing, those games were sort of devastating to the Jays. Just the fact of the pitching was just not there. And the starters, let's face it, you have to go into those places. If you want to be big dog on campus, you got to go in there and dominate those teams. You know, those are games you look back on and say, because when the dog days of August come and you're hot and heavy into the East games, you're going to look back and those are going to be some real big games that you'd have wished you'd have had a little bit better road trip. But like I said, shoulda, coulda, woulda, and you have to move on. And you have a chance of here, you know, hopefully leaving home and going possibly 14-11, which would look really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to separate yourself from two or three other teams. And what's good is the Yankees and Boston are playing tomorrow, which is,
yeah,
they're going to beat up on each other. So
yeah, and you know, just to touch on that, Brandon Morrow's start yesterday, 5 innings, 3 hits, 2 runs earned, 2 walks, mm-hmm. 6 strikeouts, and a home run. But again, an awful lot of pitches. And I mean, Nat, he had a couple of quick pitch innings in there. He still threw 95 pitches. He had a couple of quick pitch innings in there. But again, Kevin, it's the old story. You can't come out of the first. You can't come out of the first 2 innings with 45 pitches.
Sure. Well,
you just can't.
Sometimes power pitchers, because they strike a lot of guys out, are going to have high pitch counts. But when you get, because he was throwing a lot of fastballs, which was great, and he was getting ahead of a lot of people.
It's what we wanted to see in
Minnesota. Exactly right. The only way he's going to, because he was throwing, he had a really good split finger. And to throw a really good split finger, you have to have a good fastball, and you have to be spotting that fastball to have hitters obviously looking for the fastball, because the split finger looks like a fastball. Mm-hmm. So more like any other pitch.
Go ahead. No.
And he has to, for him to throw 95 pitches in 5 innings when he gets people 0-2, it just seems like he does not have that real hard snap off breaking ball to put people away. They either foul 4 or 5 pitches off, and that's running his pitch count up. And, you know, it's sooner than later, he's going to have to figure that out to save mm-hmm. bullpens and save people from pulling their hair out.
So. Buck Martinez pointed out earlier in my show, and I know he's spoken to Gary Allinson, the manager at AAA Buffalo, and Buck's already saying to keep an eye on Marcus Stroman, because my sense is the weather warming up a bit, the Jays are at home now. My sense, Kevin, is that Alex Anthopoulos is that they're going to bring somebody else up here. I'll tell you what, I would be surprised. I think these guys may get one more turn through the rotation, and if we see a repeat of what we've seen, somebody's going to lose a job.
Sure.
In the rotation.
Well, that's, like I said, it's people's jobs when it gets more into May and June, people's jobs are on the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've made the conscious effort of spending some money and getting some great players in here. It's time. You can't keep waiting around for people to say potential's there, potential. No, it's, you're here to win now, and I think they're going to do whatever it takes to do that. And like it's like you said, if you're not doing it, they're going to try to find somebody that will. And they also have 3 long relief guys in the bullpen, which is unheard of. So that's not going to last very much longer. I'm sure that's because you're going to have one of those guys that never pitches.
Mm-hmm.
So do you just go to that guy and say you're never going to pitch, but you're going to be in the bullpen? You can't do that either. So
something's going to play out in the next week.
Gibby's going to do the same thing. If you're pitching well, you're going to be the guy. If you're not, hey, we're going to have to find somebody else that can pitch.
The I guess the flip side of what we saw yesterday, we should mention, by the way, the Jays did take 2-3 from the Indians. Uh-huh. So Mark Burley again on Saturday. You know what? Mark Burley's career, the early season numbers aren't always good. Early season numbers in the American League East can be dreadful for him.
Mm-hmm.
But man, Kevin, if they didn't have Mark Burley doing what he's doing now, I don't even want to think where they'd be.
We wouldn't be as nice talking about him,
no.
I think. No, he's a tough pitcher. He's a prime example of a guy you don't have to throw 100 to get outs.
Mm-hmm.
And he spots guys. He's an easy 0-for-4. You can walk to the plate. 3 hours later, you're in your car wondering how the heck I just went 0-for-4 off this guy that throws 81 and hits his spots and flips a breaking ball and throws changeups, and he speeds you up and slows you down. And hey, that's frustrating.
You know, I wanted to ask you, because as someone who stood at the plate and mm-hmm. you've faced guys like that, people always talk about how it's a comfortable loafer.
Sure.
But what is, you're a hitter,
uh-huh.
You're facing Mark Burley. What does he do that makes you uncomfortable? We talk about speeding you up and then slowing you down. What does that mean exactly?
Well, it's more, I think he can throw three pitches for strikes. Not many people can do that. You know, we don't have another Jay starter that could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he can throw it at any time, which means if he's ahead in the count, he can throw any pitch. If he's behind in the count, obviously he can throw any pitch. But he's going in and out, which means he can go down and away for strike one and then go up and in for strike three with three different pitches. He doesn't obviously, and it's a prime example. He doesn't care if first pitch, if he throws a fastball in and a guy yanks it 7,000 feet foul, it's strike one.
Mm-hmm.
He's just going to go slower. And he's going to throw it in a different spot. It's real hard. Me personally, when I played, I'd rather face a guy that throws 95 because he really sometimes doesn't know where he's throwing it. He could throw you one down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Burley's not doing that, and that's why he's dominating.
And it's one thing, and you mentioned this, and I'm glad you mentioned it. It's one thing to say, hey, the guy's got three pitches.
Uh-huh.
But now when you couple that with the fact that he can put those pitches anywhere he wants, you've got six pitches.
Sure.
Basically.
Sure.
Three pitches. If you can spot that inside and out, it's equivalent to having six pitches.
And he strikes people out looking, which is very odd. And the reason that is because he'll lull you to sleep early in the count with either he'll flip you a first pitch breaking ball just to get ahead. And then he pounds, mm-hmm. I'm going to use the word pound, an 82-mile-an-hour fastball.
Right.
And to get you looking because you're not looking for it. That's what he does. He gets you thinking about it so much before you get to the plate that when you get to the plate, you have no idea what you're doing.
And it's guys like that. I mean, Kevin, quite often, you know, as well as I do, you'll hear people say, well, you just go up and swing at the first pitch. We can't do that with Mark Burley.
You cannot.
You can't do that.
You have to. Me, if I was facing him, I'd either bunt or I'd look location.
Mm-hmm.
You can't look pitch. You have to look. I'm going to look away for three pitches. If he throws me three pitches in, tip your hat.
Yeah.
But that's not because he throws 100, because he can throw all three of them where he wants to throw them.
Right.
And he's confident. And you see him, he never shakes off. He puts the finger down and he goes, and then he gets it and he goes. And defenses are jumping all over the place and they're jumping in stands, catching ball, because they're excited to play behind him.
What percentage, Kevin, do you think, when you talk about looking location, do most hitters look location more than pitch? Or most guys standing at the plate thinking of the pitch they want to hit.
Yeah, I never could go up and I would either look fastball. I never look breaking ball because mm-hmm. you can't make a living off hitting breaking balls. You either look fastball or you look location. If guys are like Burley can do that anytime in any count, you have to look location because you don't know what pitch he's going to throw.
Mm-hmm.
There's no chart on says, you know, because baseball's all about charts and stats. They're going to tell you what he'll throw first pitch to the fourth pitch and give you a percentage on what pitch that is, whether it's going to be a fastball, breaking ball, changeup. He's kind of all the same, which means all those are about equal. So you have to go up somehow and look location. And me personally, I never could go up looking for a breaking ball. That's guess hitting.
Mm-hmm.
So guess hitting's real tough to do. You got to be real good. And I never was really that good to do that. So,
Kevin Barker and Jeff Blair in Baseball Central. Pete Walker will just join us in a few minutes, the Blue Jays pitching coach. Again, the Jays have today off. They start a three-game series, first of a six-game homestand against the Orioles tomorrow. Then they've got the Red Sox coming in. Kevin, some roster moves this weekend. Jose Reyes is back. Adam Lind on the DL. Juan Francisco called up. Munenori Kawasaki sent back down to Buffalo. Jonathan Diaz holds on to spot. Juan Francisco is one of those guys, a left-handed bat with a lot of pop, frustrated. This is his fourth organization, I believe, strikes out a ton. You know, some people look at him and go, well, it's another example of how everybody in baseball thinks they can reinvent the wheel. But,
sure, man,
I look at this guy. He's only 26 years old.
Yeah.
You forget.
He hits mucho palacais. That's my country.
Mucho
Spanish.
What does that stand for?
Lots of homers. He has lots of home. I played with him in Dominican League. And
right.
I think when I played there, he won pretty much the MVP every year in the league because he hits the ball so far. If you want to ever watch something impressive, go watch him take batting mm-hmm. practice. He hits balls in the 20th. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think just him being in a lineup, sooner or later he's going to get high. He's real streaky. He strikes out a lot. But sooner than later, he's going to get real streaky with the homers, and he's going to hit a bunch of them in a row. and it's real impressive. And just him being in the lineup, I think he hit fifth the other day when he started first base. That's a big spot for the Jays. They, with their starting pitching struggling the way it is, they're going to need to score as many runs as they can. And with Lindy being out, and who knows how long he's going to be out, he can be a big, just giving Edwin a break at first and DHing. And, you know, I think he can play some third a little bit if he has to.
If he has to, yeah.
You know, and maybe he may have played a little outfield too.
Yes, he
did. Milwaukee. So he can play some just to get his bat in the lineup, just to give guys a break. And he can run into a lot of homers.
And probably no surprise that Munenori Kawasaki was sent back down.
It wasn't my pick, but
yeah,
I'm often wrong. So,
but I think they made this. Yeah, when we talked about it, we kind of wondered, all right, you've got a defense first guy in Jonathan Diaz. Mm-hmm. Are you ever really going to play defense for Jose Reyes? But I just think that the Blue Jays, you know, you said it. I mean, they're one of the best defensive teams in baseball, and
it's chemistry. They don't want to break that up, I think. I said it because of the two rookies.
Yeah.
You didn't want to sit both of them for a long period of time.
Right.
That was my argument. But, you know, that's why I'm doing this and not that, I guess.
Well, one guy who is doing that is Pete Walker. He is the pitching coach of the Toronto Blue Jays, and he very graciously has agreed to join us on an off day. Pete, thanks so much for doing this. I know how valuable off days are to you guys, and Kevin Barker and I really, really appreciate you joining us today.
What's up, Petey?
Hey, Kev, how you doing?
Hi,
Jeff.
What's up, man?
No problem at all. I'm sitting here in my backyard right now, and the pool is covered in Connecticut, but it's still nice to be here.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Very nice. Pete, we got to ask you, that road trip, you guys come back, you're 5-4. We said you could have been 7-2. Had to be frustrating for you as a pitching coach to see all those walks. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, it was frustrating, a frustrating trip. I mean, as good as, you know, coming back 5-4, you know, you say going in is, you know, you come back over 500, you should be happy. We're a little disappointed. You know, you had an opportunity to win a couple more ball games, and, you know, we saw the bullpen, you know, struggle a little bit. You know, we didn't see that much last year, and for the most part this year they've been solid and just, you know, hit a little bit of a rut there in a couple of games that normally they secure. And, you know, obviously walks are a concern with a few different guys. You know, we're trying to get the bottom of it, that's for sure. You know, a lot of the other numbers across the board have been pretty good, but, you know, the one thing that sticks out, obviously, to everybody, and myself included, is the walks. And, you know, it's one thing we have to rectify and find a way to, you know, force contact early in the count and minimize the walks. We minimize our walks this year. We got at least two more wins on the board. So, you know, that's a concern, a minor concern, but a concern at this point. I still think those guys, it's a little bit of a glitch. You know, especially a guy like Aaron Loop and Delabar and guys that typically pound the zone. So I think they're going to get right back on, you know, on track in this home series and put this behind us.
Petey, R.A. Dickey's off to another tough start, much like last year. How concerned should Jays fans be?
As far as R.A.? Not concerned at all. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the year, his numbers are going to be there. It's frustrating to get off to the start he has, considering how good he felt coming out of spring training. Last spring was a little bit different, and going into the season, you know, he had some issues. This year, he's healthy. He's feeling great. To be honest with you, the action on his knuckleball has been tremendous. It seems like it's that one inning that's got to him. Where last year, you know, it was kind of a consistent struggle early on. You know, he had the one solid game against New York. You know, we had a great bullpen session just the day before yesterday, and I know he's looking forward to Tuesday night, tomorrow night, pitching and getting back out there. So, you know, I still think he feels good where he is, and you know, I know the fans might be a little concerned at the start of the season for him, but. But rest assured, he's going to be solid for us, and he's going to give us an opportunity to win more times than not, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Pete Walker's the Blue Jays pitching coach, and he joins us on Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Pete, Kevin and I both talked about this. In defense of the bullpen, they throw in an awful lot of innings. Now, I know they did that last year as well, but from where I stand, I looked at the starting pitching, and we all know what you're dealing with starting pitching. We know, you know what happens when you have a knuckleball pitcher. There are going to be walks every now and then. That's part of the deal. But it's the relievers that would kind of concern me, especially a guy like Aaron Loop. Is that just mechanical, or are these guys almost at the point now where they're, no disrespect to you or Steamer or Gibby, but are they almost at the point now where you've got to say, we're getting to the point where they're almost overworked a little bit here?
I don't think so early on here. I mean, obviously they've been in some games, and, you know, we need to get a little bit more of our starters. That's the number one priority.
Right.
I mean, I still think it comes down to that. And, you know, I think Mark Burley says it best. When he doesn't throw at least six innings, he feels like he failed. Whether the results are good or not, you know, he feels like he's got to get into that seventh inning, for him to feel good about his outing. And, you know, I think that's the approach we all need to take. I know RA does as well. If he doesn't get deep into the game, he's frustrated. So, you know, I think Hutch has it in him. He certainly didn't want to come out of that game. You know, we're still guarding him just a little bit, obviously, coming off of Tommy John and trying to guard him in April and May as best we can. But, you know, we definitely need Brandon and we need Dustin to find a way to get deeper into those games. And, you know, they certainly have the stuff to do it. And it's just a matter of, continuing to stress the importance of forcing contact early in the count with their stuff. I mean, they have above average stuff. So there really is no need to get into those 2 and 3 ball counts consistently. And that's really what we need them to do. And I think that relieves some of the stress off the bullpen. You know, are they overworked? I don't think they're overworked, but they're definitely on a trend that's leading towards that way. And that's something we need to resolve. I think, you know, we've been as good as we can be with those guys, the relievers, and, you know, but for them to be at their best and to be, you know, peak performance each and every time out, you definitely need the starters to get just a little bit deeper. And, you know, we're not talking about a significant difference, but definitely pitching into that seventh inning, you know, right now in that 5 to 6 inning range. And, you know, if we can get some consistent efforts into that seventh inning, that just changes the whole complexion of the game.
Yeah, Petey, speaking of the bullpen, how important is it to get those guys in certain roles? What I mean by that is guys knowing what their roles is, because now with the way the starting pitching is, they're kind of all over the place. You call them in the six, which they're really not. How important is it for that to be established, especially early on in the season?
Yeah, it is important. I've certainly been in the pen. I've been a part of a couple of good pens, but, you know, and guys had established roles. You know, they kind of had a real good feeling when they were coming in. Right now, it's been hit or miss with a couple situations. You know, we've used Loopy a little bit earlier than we would like to, that's for sure. Him primarily, but for the most part, it's nice to have established roles down there. These guys are all, we have probably 4 or 5 guys who are late inning relievers, 7th, 8th, and 9th inning.
Sure.
Obviously, it would be a luxury to get Casey Jansen back feeling good, and it kind of puts everybody in a little bit better place down there, to be honest with you. So that's something I'm looking forward to, and I think the staff is as well. He solidifies that bullpen and kind of puts everybody in their right place. But again, it's going to come down to the starting pitchers getting a little bit deeper, so we don't have to bring in Aaron Loop or someone to get out of a tight jam. Because when you're in a 3-2 game, a 4-3 game in the 6th inning, and you got 2 guys on, you know, he's the kind of guy that can come in and get out of that. And, you know, and I know it's a luxury to have him and Cecil and Delabar and Santos and when Casey's back, Casey Jansen as well. So you can occasionally run an Aaron Loop out there in the 6th inning, but to be doing it on a consistent basis isn't good for any of us.
Right. And Pete, you know, people talk about guys need to find roles or you like to have roles in the bullpen. And I think a lot of times we forget that in order for that to happen, you've got to get innings out of your starting pitchers. I mean, that's the first step towards, it's great to have a closer and then kind of manage back from that, but you got to get innings out of your starting pitchers to make those roles fit together. That's the second element of it.
We've nailed down the games that we've got deep into.
Yes.
I mean, that's just the way it's been. And we've had some tight games where we've been ahead, but we've had to go to that reliever in the 6th inning or even the 5th inning. And it's a lot to ask for out of those guys. And, you know, do we expect to do that over the course of the season? Absolutely not. It's happened a few times early on. That Minnesota series still is, you know, as traumatizing as it was at the time. It's something that we just got to put behind us. And it definitely... there was a lot of weather-related issues in that game, but you know, the other team dealt with it as well. But you know, I thought we had a good series in Baltimore. I think, you know, for the most part, we did a good job in Cleveland, and you know, just didn't finish it off the way we'd like to. But again, it's going to come down to the starters getting deeper, and we anticipate that. I mean, those guys are definitely. I think when they start getting into some warmer weather, Their pitch counts aren't going to be an issue at this point now. They're all responding well. Dustin McGowan, Brandon Morrow, which was obviously coming into the spring and into the season, we're just hoping they felt good, and they both feel great. So, you know, we're definitely going to push them a little bit more from here on out to get them deeper into the game.
Mm-hmm. Pete Walker joins us on Baseball Central. What are you seeing from Brandon Morrow, Pete? There was some criticism of the game in Minnesota that he didn't use his fastball enough.
I
thought yesterday he threw some real good fastball, threw some good splits. Sure. What's your take on where Brandon is right now?
Yeah, we had a good conversation. We go back and look at the games and talk about him and throughout the course of the game. I agree with that assessment in Minnesota. You know, I think he got away from it a couple of times this year. He's gotten away from his fastball a little too much. But, you know, I thought last game he used it pretty well. I think he was a little more aggressive with his heater. He got burned one time by Brantley, you know, going in on a 3-2 pitch. But, you know, he'd thrown maybe five consecutive fastballs to him. So, you know, on the one hand, we're telling him to use his fastball. And then the same breath, you're saying, hey, you maybe should use your slider or split right there. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword sometimes. And, you know, I know he feels good. He feels very confident in his secondary stuff. But we want him to be equally as confident in his fastball. And, you know, his velocity fluctuates at times. And, you know, there are games when he's letting it rip, and it's 95, 96, 97. And then there'll be the next game will be 91, 92, 93, which is fine. It's more than enough. But I think he loses a little bit of his aggressiveness when it's at those numbers. And, you know, that's something we want to get a little more consistency out of is the velo and being able to use that fastball and then go into his secondary stuff when he needs it.
Pete, it was good of you to do this. I'm going to let you go and enjoy your pool and just think about what it's going to be like when that covers off the pool.
Yeah, exactly. My family will enjoy it. I'll be up there with the team. But, you know, as long as they're having a good time here at the pool, I'm happy.
That's awesome. Say hi to the family, Petey.
All right, you got it, Kev.
Thanks
a lot,
man.
Guys.
Take care, Pete.
Take
that
care.
Is Pete Walker. He is the
guy,
Blue Jays pitching. He's one of the best.
Yeah.
Blue Jays pitching coach. And, you know, like,
he sounds like he's just trying to invent ways to get the starters later in games.
Well, it's very simple. You know, we sound like a broken record, but the fact of the matter is, if the Jays can get six innings out of their starting pitchers, all of a sudden the bullpen has a little more rest. The roles fall into place. Yeah. I thought Pete made a very good point. I mean, essentially, you know, and people are pointing out, I think Aaron Loop had 13 walks last year. I think he's got seven or eight already. But Pete Walker's saying, hey, now we've put him in earlier than we would normally want to. And again, broken record. But folks, if you don't get six innings out of your starting pitchers, at least six innings,
you're not going to win.
You're not going to win. And,
no.
And the fact of the matter is, if you take a look around baseball, a lot of people tell you, if your starter doesn't get out of the fifth inning, you're essentially looking at using two more relievers than you would normally want to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can almost make book on it that if your starter's scuffling in the sixth inning and doesn't get out of it, it's going to take a couple of pitchers to get to the point where now you go, okay, now we got our setup guy followed by the closer. Very seldom does one guy come in, pitch an inning in two-thirds or two and a third innings, and then bang, you turn it over to the setup guy.
Really, that's why they're in the bullpen, because they're not supposed to go an inning in two-thirds, two innings. That's why.
And frankly, the guys that they have, the multiple inning guys right now, you know, flip a coin, and good luck to you if you're willing to send Jay Happ out there for two innings, because I'm sure not. We appreciate Pete Walker joining us. Kevin Barker and I have a lot to talk about. Want to talk about that dugout clearing brawl in Pittsburgh yesterday. Travis Snyder getting
the worst end of that deal. For sure.
He did, absolutely. Kind of a bizarre situation. We'll explain it to you. Carlos Gomez and Garrett Cole, the National League Central folks, they don't fool around there. And we'll talk about that. And also a big injury for the New York Yankees. Ivan Nova done for the rest of the year, likely needing Tommy John surgery. You know, Kevin, we pointed out the Jays are 10-9. That could be a lot better than that. Mm-hmm. But, man, nobody's running away with the East. The only thing anybody's running to in the East is the hospital. That's the only thing anybody's running to in the East. Everybody's got somebody hurt. Yeah. Back with more Baseball Central with Kevin Barker and Jeff Blair on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other, The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Baseball Central, Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Well, now that we solved the Jays' pitching problems.
Uh-huh.
So much for that.
Yeah, good luck.
Got to talk about stuff that happened around the majors yesterday in particular. Almost a full slate of games today. By the way, the Red Sox and Orioles are scoreless in the bottom of the second inning. Red Sox playing the Boston Marathon, the traditional Boston Marathon game. That'd be funny. Nothing. 11:30 start, Kevin. You'd love that, wouldn't you? 11:30 a.m. start.
We used to play those kid games
in
AAA.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I only have AAA stories. But,
well, they're good.
Yeah, but the AAA, that's the only thing I remember is we had 10,000 kids because they would all come from all the schools, and it was a 10 o'clock. Yeah, I said 10 o'clock game.
Is that
that's
the one
worse than spring training.
Is that the one where you had the back? You'd have the back problem. From
yeah, I was. I mean, I'm pretty sure I played because there was like four of them a year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So four times a year you had to deal, and it was normally in Pawtucket. That's the only thing I remember is the Red Sox AAA
right.
team, Pawtucket. I just remember there was thousands of kids there at 10 o'clock in the morning. The least thing, the last thing you wanted to hear at 10 o'clock in the morning was 10,000 kids yelling.
It's bad enough having one yell.
It is. 10,000 is like, wow, it was amazing. But, yeah, this is the best thing about this, they're getting show money.
That's right.
You're getting big league money, so it makes it a little easier. This
show
way.
Money. You sound like Kevin Millar there.
Show. Hey, watch that.
Well, no, before we go on, I want you to tell me the Kevin Millar story. Because we got important stuff to deal with, but yeah. I always thought you looked to me physically like Kevin Millar.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I don't know him personally.
No. Nope. Yeah,
I've heard... when I was playing against him in spring training, that he would say things that when he was hitting, he would be like, you know, it would be a 2-2 count. So he's going to say it's 2-2 in the show, which is really weird.
And then referred himself in the third person. And,
yeah.
2-2 and Kevin Millar in the show.
Yeah, he would say his name and then he would say the count and he would always say the show, which I thought was really weird. But I guess you have to know him to... which I don't, so I can't really make fun of him.
Yeah,
it's funny.
If I'm not mistaken, he was the guy when he was here. The Jays used to have these flashback Fridays, and it kind of bothered the players. And I think it was Millar that had T-shirts made up that said, turn the page Tuesdays or turn the page Wednesdays or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that's good. Oh, you can never have too many Kevin Millar stories.
You can.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I want to talk about that brawl. I also want to talk about Ivan Nova, though, the Yankees. Kevin, there's a lot of pitching injuries in this division. And if you're the Yankees, losing Ivan Nova, I guess you're sitting there saying, thank God we have Michael Pineda back. But it just continues. Pitching injuries just continues.
I think it's just maybe one of those things this year. That's what we're going to see is Tommy Johns. I don't know. I don't think there's a real reason. It could be that they pitch too much. They may pitch too much in spring training. They may, which I would never think that would be the case. But I'm sure it's a lot of – I'm not a doctor, but if I throw – I'm sure it doesn't help if I throw when I'm real young. I throw a bunch of breaking balls and, you know, I try to overthrow. And that could have a lot of strain on body parts that aren't supposed to be strained. So I think it's – just I think it's just one of those things this year that's what you're going to see.
Well, and I don't know. I mean, people may not have seen this, but Ivan Nova has a partial tear of the ulnar collateral ligament. He's going to be examined in New York. But I mean, it was scary. If you watch the game, he throws a pitch and you get the. He shook his hand, shook his arm, shook. You could tell as soon as you see that, you're going, oh.
Yeah, his arm goes limp.
Yeah. Like,
and then it's, yeah, you never want to see anybody get hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it sounds like it's year ending. He's out for the rest of the year. So,
yeah, he said he felt the pop. And anytime you hear a pitcher say, I felt the pop in the elbow, it was throwing a pitch to Evan Longoria. So, again, we talked about this. Yeah, the Jays are only 10-9, but man, it's.
The door has just been.
It's been kept open.
Yeah, it's propped open with a huge stick now.
I mean, really, you know, you look at the American League right now, Oakland's at 13-5. Oakland's the only team that's really, like, sprinted away.
Mm-hmm. If there's ever been a chance the Jays can make a huge run, it's now.
Well, I'll tell you, they've got Baltimore and Boston, and I mean, I'm telling you, if they can get out of April, we talked about the whole thing in April was to get out with a good record. If they can come out of April, you know, something like, I don't know, I'm not going to put a, but I mean, if they could come out 17-11 or something, sure. I mean, that would be.
I think if you go out of the homestand at 14-11, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
If you take two out of three out of those two teams, that's going to let some air out of the Orioles and the Red Sox, because the Red Sox are struggling.
Yeah.
And the Orioles are starting to hit a little bit and driving in some runs.
And you know they're going to get Manny Machado back at some point.
Yeah,
that
so
happens.
That's what we say. I mean, like you said earlier, you keep beating a dead horse. But when the opportunity's there, you have to take advantage of it and take it now, and it's now.
We want to talk about the dugout clearing brawl yesterday between the Pirates and Milwaukee. And I'll set the stage for you. Carlos Gomez, who has a bit of a reputation, shall we say, hits a long, long ball off Gerrit Cole. I don't know if he necessarily, I don't think he pimped it. I mean, he flips the bat and he starts jogging. He clearly thinks it's gone.
He thought he got it.
Ball bounces off the top wall, comes back, and he gets on his horse, gets to third base. Gerrit Cole goes over to cover third base, gets the ball, says, as you said, ask him out for dinner, ask him out to dinner. The come together, the dugout's clear. Somehow Travis Snyder gets in on it, and he pushes Gomez to the ground, and then I believe it was Martin Maldonado just cold cocks him.
Yeah.
Just cold cocks Travis Snyder, and then Russ Martin gets into it. But I wanted to ask, because you played in the Brewers organization.
I did. I never played with those guys with the Brewers, but in winter ball, I did.
Carlos Gomez, he lets you know he's pretty good, doesn't he?
Yeah, you're never going to not know he's the fastest man on the planet, and he can hit lots of home runs. But the baseball is like no other sport, I think. There's so many people when things like that happen on the field that it's real hard to punch somebody, because you have all these people. That's what Snyder, he got the worst end of the deal, because he has a couple of people holding him down, and then he gets sucker punched because he's trying to take up for his teammate, which is very confusing, because you see the pitcher, he's nowhere to be found. He starts it, and then he's really nowhere to be found, which I was talking to you earlier. I think you should have a 30-second rule. That's what I think. If you start, if the two guys that start it should have a 30-second rule. It should be like hockey. Everybody get out of the way. You have 30 seconds to take care of it, and then we break it up. And then you throw those two guys out, and nobody else gets hurt. But
could you make the fight subject to a video replay?
Well, I mean, everything else is. You might as well.
I don't think you could do that.
You might as well, you know.
What? I mean, you saw the play. What did you think? Again, I didn't think he pimped it as much. I thought the guy, I mean, first of all, when you hit a ball like that, you should just run anyhow, because you never know, especially in that ballpark. But I didn't think it's like he pimped it. I don't think he didn't make a big deal about it. He just went into a home run trot. And if I'm a pitcher, yeah, I guess I'm kind of pissed off. But Kevin, the ball bounced, went over my center fielder's head and bounced off the top of the wall. I can see where the guy might think that's got a chance of going out of the park.
I think it's more reputation than anything. He's made a little reputation for himself that he's a showboat, and, you know, he may be showing some people up that he shouldn't. And some people take offense to that. It's part of the game. I made a bad pitch, which, you know, it looked like it was a center cut pitch. And he hit it good, and he thought he got it. And, you know, he likes to let people know he got him. And I'm sure in Milwaukee, that's a got him. He's going to get him. Because the ball flies in Milwaukee, and
like just, what to you though is unacceptable to you as a guy who played?
Well, I know I played in a different era. I played against Barry Bonds. He would stand there till it landed.
you
can't. What is that too much? It landed and bounced three or four times, and he hasn't touched first yet. That's too much, but you can't do that anymore. Pitchers are just not going to allow that. First of all, there's not that many home runs being hit like they're used to. And there's not guys that can hit the ball like, you know, there's only one Barry Bonds. So I'm a different guy to ask, just because I've never really played at the time these guys were playing. I played a long time ago, and that was just the norm, that when you hit a ball 7,000 feet, you stood and watched it until somebody picked it up and threw it back.
I saw Barry Bonds one time in a game in Montreal crush a ball to the opposite field and go to the other side of the plate.
Yeah.
Just to eyeball it. He didn't even make his move to first base. He crushed it, and then he just kind of leaned over to the other side of the plate.
How many people you see hit a home run and do a circle? He did a complete circle on one home run. Is that too much?
That might be a little too much.
Would that get probably a brawl, I would think, now.
Hey, do you know Wrigley Field celebrating its centennial on Wednesday?
Wow.
And you know why I asked that? Because I'm looking at Kevin Barker on Baseball Reference.
I may have hit a home run or two there.
Home run, 4 ribbies. You hit 333 there.
I should have been traded to the Cubbies.
7 hits and a home run.
I mean, that's...
What was it like playing there?
Everything to get to the field's not very good there just because it's real small. And, you know, but once you step on the field, they could be 1 in 160, and that place is sold out, which is really, really cool. So it's, you know, it's Wrigley. You show up to, they're so excited to have a winning team, which they may never have one, but it's, you know, just being in the big leagues and being a part of that field is amazing. I had a great time there.
What was your favorite park to play in? Major League Park.
I really like Coors Field. I thought that place was really nice. The atmosphere, and obviously the ball, being a hitter, the ball just was awesome. And
it's
Anaheim,
such a great city.
Anaheim is really, really nice park. Cubbies, that's a nice place. Like I said, the clubhouse was, it's like Boston. Boston's clubhouse is.
And that walkway down the old wood walkway.
Yeah, the Cubbies place, you can, you know, it's not the walkway from the clubhouse to the, or from the where you get dressed to the clubhouse, is really small. It's made for small people.
Yeah.
And I'm not very small, so you have to get really low to walk down the tunnel. You've been there.
Yeah, it's
not very, but once you step on the field, it's a really, you know, it's, and you're always playing day games. Now they're playing some night games, but the day games are really hard to play there just because the nightlife there's,
yeah, you don't get to bed early in Chicago.
Not too shabby. Not that I would know that.
No, but it's, I can remember, you know, I thought the worst move by any player I'd ever seen in my life was when Moises Alou went to Chicago, because that was like...
Oh, so you know Moises Alou.
I know Moises very well, and I was like, if a guy was made, there are people who are made not to be in certain ballparks, and Moises Alou had no business being in a park where he was going to play day baseball.
I played for him in winter ball. That's quite something.
He's a large personality.
He's, yes.
So there you go. We, Wrigley Field, celebrating its centennial. And, if anybody who has had a chance to be there, stand on the field.
It's awesome.
It really is.
It is amazing.
I always tell people, like, the two places where you kind of really take it all in. I mean, I've been lucky enough to be at field level. One was at old Yankee Stadium.
Played there too.
And the other was Wrigley. You stand there in the field level, you go, wow, this is really something. And then you take a look at how long the grass is, and you begin to...
Well, the ivy up the outfield wall, that's... And you had to take batting practice because it rains a little bit.
Absolutely.
There. And you take batting practice in right field, which is... It's just a big league field. You're not supposed to be doing that.
But yeah.
That's weird.
There you go. Well, again, the 100th anniversary of Wrigley Field. So we've talked about that with Ivan Nova. Mm-hmm. We talked about... dugout clearing incidents. Kevin Barker wants a 30-second rule. I kind of like that. Everybody separate, let them fight.
It'll never happen. But
and then you can have video replay cool. for that as well. You're back tomorrow.
Yes.
We will have baseball tomorrow night. Orioles, Blue Jays, first game of a 3-game series, first game of a 6-game homestand. The Red Sox in on the heels of the Orioles. We'll get you set for that game. Have a great day, everybody. Hockey Central is next from Montreal. The boys will get you set for... the Lightning and the Montreal Canadiens. For Pete Walker, Kevin Barker, I'm Jeff Blair saying thanks for joining us in Baseball Central. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.